This is Member Care Media, a media ministry of TWR. Up next, a conversation we believe will be helpful to you. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
We're continuing through our series of Life Choices with Pastor Bob Perdue. And Bob, it's good to have you back with us once again today. And today you're going to be sharing with us on why we should choose worship. And we've gone through a number of the different steps, and maybe you'd like to just sort of reiterate them before diving into our time today on worship.
Absolutely. We want to put worship in the context of choosing life. Basically, our hearts have been taken captive, walled off, and shut down by the sin and wounds and shame and coping mechanisms and addictions that we've experienced. But as we lay all of these things down, we chose surrender, remember, and allow the Spirit of God to realign our will with the will of the Father, which is choosing empowerment. We hear His affirming voice again, telling us who we are, and we receive the refreshing grace that forgives our sin and wounds. And that's when we begin to actually experience that connection with the Father that is life and that we've missed. Now, as that life flows into us from the Father, our hearts start to wake up to this new relationship with Him. And it's a new heart. It's a good heart. It's a clean heart. It's not the old heart of sin and desperately wicked that Jeremiah speaks of. It's the new heart. And this new heart in us begins to respond to that connection to the Father. And that response is called worship. Now, if it weren't for the many ways that we've attempted worship when we weren't connected to the Father, we wouldn't have to talk about this at all because it would just naturally flow. But because many of us have tried to worship God from the shamed self or from the false self, it's easy for us when we start to worship Him to fall back into old patterns. So we need to examine what a choice to worship really looks like. In the scriptures, the Old Testament word for worship, the Hebrew word, means to bow down or to do homage. And even as you think about that, two things are involved. There's an action, the bowing, and there's an attitude of humility. And so worship involves both an action and an attitude. The New Testament or Greek word that's used for worship literally means to kiss toward, and it's used in secular literature of a dog licking its master's hand. Again, there's an action and an attitude.
Right.
There's the action of loyalty and honor, as well as, again, an attitude of humility. So worship is both an attitude and an action, but it's an action and attitude that are prompted by something, and the prompting is the knowledge of the presence of God. When we realize our connection to the Father, we begin to hear His voice speaking life into us, then our hearts respond to that. And the response of our heart is called worship. Isaiah chapter 6 is a perfect example of that. When Isaiah is sharing with us his vision of the Lord, he's caught up into heaven and he sees the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up. His train fills the temple. He sees seraphim around the throne singing, "Holy, holy, holy." And Isaiah responds. Once he recognizes that he's in the presence of God, then he says, "Woe is me, for I'm undone, for I'm a man of unclean lips." That's an action and an attitude. He's repenting, and he's having an attitude of humility and contriteness because he's in the presence of God. So when we begin to worship, there will be an attitude, maybe humility, maybe praise, maybe joy, maybe awe. There will be an action. We may bow, we may sing, we may shout or pray or cry or serve or surrender or give. All of those things can be acts of worship when they're prompted by the presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
Giving from the heart because you know that God is in your life and He's done so much for you is an act of worship when that's what prompts it. But when what prompts it is the pastor saying, "We need $9,000 to meet budget today,"
right.
Or there's a silver plate passed in front of your face, if that's what's prompting the giving, then it's hardly an act of worship because worship is prompted by the presence of God. There is a huge difference between performing acts of worship and actually worshiping God. Because we know the actions that are associated with worship, singing, praying, giving, surrendering, we can perform those acts without being conscious of the presence of God at all, but they become empty. And in fact, when we live behind the mask and we're trying to pretend that our lives are okay, and we're trying to get life out of our service and our performance, then performing acts of worship is a great way to try to get a feeling of acceptance from God. Mm. It's really hard for us to separate those two things. I think it's impossible for a person who's living in shame to really worship God.
Yeah.
Because they do not feel worthy or adequate to be in his presence at all. And so therefore they can't sense his presence. They feel separated from his presence. The person who's living in the false self, who's living from the mask, can't worship God because they're too conscious of themselves. They're too focused on how they're performing and how they're making their lives work to really be focused on God and who he is. So the only place that we can really worship is when we're in that center spot of being connected to the Father, sins and wounds forgiven, grace received, lives surrendered, wills aligned, and there we're sensing his presence. We're responding with feelings and attitudes of loyalty, of love, and of humility, and that prompts certain actions from us, which become acts of worship. One of the verses in Scripture that I like about worship is as Samuel was getting ready to step off of the scene and kind of turn the leadership of the nation over, he said, "Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. Mm-hmm. For consider how great things he has done for you." And all the elements of worship are there. Only fear the Lord. That's an attitude. And serve him with all your heart. That's an action. And then considering what great things he has done for you is an acknowledgement of his presence and activity in our lives. So when we choose to worship God this way, we're actually choosing to allow the connection that we have with the Father to prompt a response from our heart that is directed back to the Father and connects us even further to him. So it's a celebration and it's an experience of life. That's why choosing worship is choosing life.
I remember a man in a church that I attended, and I would have, I guess, not said he was a great leader in the church, or not somebody that you would pass on the street and certainly have noticed. He couldn't sing very well. But when he was in worship and he did sing, in everything he did, really, he did it with a love that was obvious for his Savior. And that's probably the best way for me to put it, because worship is more than just singing a song.
Absolutely.
Or putting money into a plate. It is an attitude that we have in life. And there are many, many ways that we can worship our Lord. And I always felt that this man, he had a love for life, but it went beyond that. It went to a love for his Savior. And I have to be honest, I've envied him in a good way, maybe, but yeah. I've envied him at times for that ability, which I saw him not that long ago. And he's, even at his advanced age now, he's still the same. Mm-hmm. He's never lost that worship, that love for the Lord. And he's been through a lot in his life. He's had a lot of challenges thrown his way. And yet you cannot doubt his love for the Lord and his dependence upon him. And
yeah, I think true worship is uninhibited because we lose sight of ourselves. And, you know, in my upbringing, you didn't worship God with your body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you sang the hymns, but you didn't display any emotion.
Right.
During that time. Well, when I got in recovery, it was a charismatic recovery group. So they were very physical in their worship, but right. I so hated my body that I couldn't bring my physical body into the worship experience for the longest time. Mm-hmm. I was totally inhibited by my self-hatred. And when the Father released me from that, and when I finally chose forgiveness for myself, and was able to accept who I really was, then I was able to enter into worship in a physical way. And it was uninhibited and free and flowing from the heart.
This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thank you for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.